I don't know how many of you are grown and are reminiscing about the days when the empty nest syndrome happened, but I'm going to tell you what happened to me. My soon-to-be high school graduate came sauntering into the kitchen and said, "I have an announcement to make," as she leaned over the table. "I've decided which college I'm going to." My husband and I knew she'd make a good choice. I mean, she had literally done all the research herself. And we knew she was conservative, like her father. And so she had a full scholarship to any of the state universities. And she could have a half scholarship to Pepperdine. And, of course, she could have anything she wanted at the colleges. So, I mean, the choices were abundantly clear. My husband and I both looked as one and looked at her and said, "Where will it be, dear?" And she leaned over on the table and she said, "Paris." And I said, "As in Paris, Texas?" And she said, "No, as in the American University in Paris, France. Thank you very much." And no one in our family has ever thought of going out of the country. I mean, we were just glad to get to go to college. You know what I'm talking about, people. And I was like, well, I have to admit, I admit that we did get her a French tutor when she was young because, you know, you want to build them up. And by the time she got to high school, the truth is she could speak better than her teachers. And we did go so far as to have foreign exchange students, which I regret to this day. Young men, if you girls know what I'm talking about. And so but Paris, France. But you know, I was not in charge. She was almost 18. She decided that's where she was going to go. It could happen. She was going. Gone. I took her over there, being the good mother that I am, as all mothers should take their children off to college. And I left her in a 500-year-old flat with a common bathroom down the hall and the right to take a bath at the au pair's home that she was going to work for once a week. And this was the day, people, before email, before Skype, before Twitter, and certainly before cell phones. And so her father left her a 20-digit number to make sure she checked in once a week at the, you know, payphone of her choice. And that's where we left the child. I was shocked. Everything was going well, though. I got home, and I decided to make this a great happening where I was going to send her gifts and packages and little love notes about mothering and all that. I mean, she really would appreciate it. Well, she didn't, but, you know, that's a whole other story. But I sent her the cookies, and I sent her the little this and little that, and my heart was set on Christmas holiday because that's semester break, and she was going to come home, and I was going to be so glad. And I started doing all these wonderful mothering kind of things that you would do. I believe I sent just under 75 packages or notes, doing my duty as a mother, you know. And that was what I was going to do. And everything was working fine. It was December the 10th, and I was so excited about her coming. I'd started baking and doing all those kinds of things that a mother should do. And I'm telling you, friends, that's when the very bad thing happened. It was actually 2:36 in the morning, and the telephone rang. And I answer the telephone at night because I'm calm. I use my secretary voice. You know the one I'm talking about. "Hello, this is Sandy." And all I could hear on the other end was this slobbering, blubbering mess of words, and I could not get out any of the words the person was speaking. So I said in my nice voice, "Please slow down." And just like that, you know, all this happens in the middle of a second, and I realize it's my daughter. It's Susie in Paris. And then you know what had happened, don't you? She'd been kidnapped. She'd been raped. She'd been robbed. Oh, my God, she was pregnant. And I'm trying to hang on to all this information. And finally, she blubbers out.
I was at the coffee shop. I was getting my cream for my coffee. And I put my purse down and my books down. And I turned around. And when I turned back, my purse was gone.
I'm thinking, after rape or pregnancy, yes! Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying here, people. I'm like, oh, sweet. I let out my mama voice and I said, oh, honey, that's no problem at all. And she turned on me with the vengeance that only a college student can. And she said, you don't understand. I said, what? She said, my passport. I can't come home without my passport. Now I see a guy over here on the right. I will not point at him, that is thinking in his head, well, why didn't you put that little pouch around her and make her carry it in there? Now, that is of no consolation to a mother who is trying to keep her child from committing hara-kiri on the streets of Paris. So let's just not go where her father went, okay? Back to this story. So I say, sweetheart, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to the school. I want you to tell the administrators. They're going to give you some money for the weekend. And then Daddy will have a work friend come over. He's already over there. He'll pick you up on Monday. He'll take you for a passport. She broke in with another volley. You don't understand anything. What? The embassies are closed, French and American. They believe in holidays. And I said, just go to the school and do it. She hangs up on me. I'm holding the phone to my chest. I am just trying not to cry, and I'm trying to think of how a mother can fix this. And her father reaches over and pats me like that. Puts his hand on me and says, you're right, I can get her the money, but there's no way in hell she's going to get home without a passport. And I said, don't touch me. I'm praying. And he took his hand back away. And I prayed, being a good mother than I am. I'm praying, and about 37 minutes later, the phone rings again, and I pick it up. My best secretary voice. Hello? It's this college. It's the administrator. Oui, madame, we would be so happy to give her some money. But again, she is right, you know. The embassies, they are closing up now. No more, nothing for them to do with the holiday. My daughter grabs back the phone. I told you so! It hangs up on me. I can't get any more information. I'm just holding the phone now, and I'm thinking, okay, God, I know I'm not in charge. I never was in charge. I'm not in charge. But she's safe. And I'm thinking, how can I get over there? How can I get enough money together to get a ticket? And then how can I get enough money together to have a hotel for Lord knows how long? Because the university closes, and then what's going to happen? And then I'm thinking, I can't leave my family. I can't leave all this. I'm the matriarch. You know what I'm saying here? I can't just up and bail on this, even if I had the money. I mean, and then there's really nothing left to do but cry, you know. So I put the phone back down on my chest, and I'm crying a little bit. And then, you know, you're just so exhausted from all this drama. I just kind of dozed off, and like about 4:37, I mean, not to the exact minute, but right around 4:37, the phone rings again, and I grab it up, and I it's on my chest now, and I pick it up, and I go, hello, 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 and I hear another hysterical event going on, but this time it's laughter. It's funny. It's like something's going crazy here. And I say, what is it? What is it? I know it's her. I know it's her. And she's laughing and she's saying, oh, Mom, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. So here I was at the school and all of a sudden this taxi driver comes driving up and he gives it to the administration post. You know what he gave them, Mother? He gave them my purse. Everything was in it except $20. I'll be home next week. I love you. Goodbye. And she hangs up. And I'm laying there thinking, well, I believe. I truly believe. I believe that I am so not in charge. But I also believe that I'm glad I know the one who is.